and sure thankful he didn't pass us by. Let's stand this evening. This song came on my heart and I was driving today and talked to a couple people this week and even this evening, and I know the devil's trying to pass out some black eyes, so I thought that we should give him a black eye tonight. So sing this with me. Victory is mine.
morning. Friend, don't have no doubt. Oh, I know that my Lord will bring you out. Oh, you just get down on your knees. You say, Lord, if you please, you'll raise up, shout the praise of victory. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. His victory today.
Amen. Well, if you didn't have it when you came in, I believe you can have it before you go out tonight.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you very richly. Amen. Good to be in service again together tonight to worship the Lord. And I want to remind the brothers, Lord willing, we'll be having our men's meeting tomorrow night at 7:30 here at the church in the fellowship area downstairs. And I've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this evening. Just please remember Sister Tina Bryant. She's having oral surgery tomorrow, and also pray for the infection to go down. And then Sister Stephanie Duval, she's got stomach pain this evening. We want to remember her in prayer. And a Sister Ann Garland, she passed away this week. We want to remember her family in prayer. And then my sister-in-law, Denise, she had called me yesterday and just wanted to thank the church for praying for her granddaughter, Peyton. And she said it's a good feeling to know other believers are praying for her, and please continue to pray for total healing. They did some additional testing on her yesterday, and they won't have those results back till Monday. So just want to continue to remember her in prayer tonight as well. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord not only sees each one of those hands, He knows about the request. He cares about the request. He cares because you care. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Arnie if he'd come tonight. Just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Praise the Lord. The only place Brother Nathan just said, I love you, and I love you too. The only place there will be any real love is within the bride. It's getting thrown around a lot by denominationals and by rank unbelievers, but you've never known what real love is until you've known the love of God. The only place you'll find it is within the little bride, and I'm so glad that He's chosen us. We didn't choose Him, Brother Jimmy. He chose us. So let's speak to Him tonight. Amen. Precious Lord, we're so grateful that You've chosen us to reveal such a great, thrilling, mysterious message to in these closing moments of time. This is a day, Lord, when deception is running rampant like it never has before. And only the little bride will know the truth. Your ways are so much higher than ours. Your ways are past finding out, except for us. You revealed Yourself to Your little barefoot bride. If that sounds like that we're bragging, then I guess we just are. But Lord, we're not bragging on ourselves. We're bragging on You and what You've done for us. I don't know where to begin tonight, Lord. If we were to thank You for all that You've done, we'd have to go back before there was ever a planet Earth to walk on. We were there with You. We were part of You, Lord, when the morning stars sang together. We didn't have anything to do with it. The scribes and the Pharisees, the ones who should have known You, they turned You down because their good works meant nothing. So, Lord, we don't come to You tonight on our own merit. How many times we go to church, how many tapes we listen to, how many days we fast. We come to You tonight, Lord, because of Your absolute perfect grace. The grace of God that doesn't just cover our sins, it removes them as far as the east is from the west and buries them in the sea of forgetfulness. And how grateful we are tonight for that. I pray for this precious congregation of loved brothers and sisters. Lord, these needs that have been mentioned tonight. tonight. I can't name them back, but you know who they are, you know where they live, you know their address, their phone number, their email, you know all about them. Lord, how many times have we stood on the sidelines and watched you do the impossible? We're asking you to do it again tonight. Just once more, Lord. Just once more, Lord Jesus, reveal yourself through your little bride. We're so honored. I pray that you would meet each one of the needs that Brother Nathan mentioned. I pray that you would comfort where there's comfort needed. And I pray where there's depression that you would drive it back in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we all have needs, but personally, for myself, I think I can speak for all of us. The greatest need that we have tonight is more of you. We want more of you. Brother Branham said, I want to love him and I want to please him. The Lord, help us to have the same humble spirit that the little hillbilly prophet had. Lord, I don't put the spotlight on him. I put the spotlight on the one that he introduced us to, the living Christ. We're so glad you've chosen to reveal yourself to us in this hour. Help us to ever be grateful, Lord, because we could never finish praising you. We thank you in advance now for meeting the needs and helping the ones who are sick or afflicted in any way. We love you and pray that you'd have your way tonight. You bless Brother Nathan in a special way. Give us love one for another, Lord. Forgive us of our sins. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Christy.
Struggle alone. They say I have nothing. But
Sure appreciate that, sister. I believe that's how we all feel. Amen.
Amen.
If the brothers would come at this time. This is 381 in your hymn book.
This world, it's not my home, Lord, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. Oh, I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know, well, I have no friend like you.
War no more, study war no more, ain't
let's sing it this way tonight. Oh, I'm gonna lay down all my troubles down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. I'm gonna lay down my troubles down by the riverside, gonna study war no more. Oh, I ain't gonna study war no more, study war no more, ain't gonna study.
Man, I don't know about you. I'm about ready to lay down all my burdens, all my troubles. Amen. I'm glad we have a place we can take him to tonight. Amen. Take him and lay him at the foot of the cross. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to St. John's Gospel, chapter 15. St. John, chapter 15. And we'll begin at verse 7. And just read a couple verses here together. Amen. I hope you came expecting tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Your attitude towards the service can have more of an impact than you realize. Amen. So if you come expecting and you come pull in on the gift and you come in an atmosphere of worship and praise, I believe we can have church tonight.
Amen.
Amen. St. John chapter 15 and verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Now I want you to notice there was a condition to this. This isn't name it and claim it. This isn't just go out there and live any kind of lifestyle that you want and get your own ideas and project that. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye
that we're facing with the power, Lord, now. But Lord, as the song says, Lord, may you just send the power just now. Lord, may it not just be a power of watts and of electricity, but Father, may your Holy Spirit just come. Lord, your Holy Spirit and fire, may it just come in a special way for us tonight, Lord Jesus. May you move on the scene in a way that only you can. May you move on the scene for your people again tonight, like you did in days gone by, Father, to where, Lord, that you would be able to project not the thoughts of a man, but your thoughts to the people, Father. Lord, may we just follow your leading to the best of our ability, Lord Jesus. And Lord, may you take complete control of every word that is spoken, everything that is done. May it be for your glory. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. You may not be able to see some of the slides tonight because of this, but I will go right ahead anyhow and preach it. Thankfully, I've got battery power up here. And if you want to go back and read some of these that you miss between now and whenever the power comes back on, you can go back and read them. I always put the sermon notes up there on the website when the sermon's uploaded there. So if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
Amen.
Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Brother Branham picks this up in The Word Made Flesh in 1954, and he says, now you can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a real revelation of God, that you see it before it happened, and express it in word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material, a thought expressed.
Amen.
All night. How are we looking, Brother Jimmy? Go right ahead.
We have a transformer.
Okay, well, maybe a little bit. Did you call them Duke Energy?
They're in the process of calling them.
All right. You brothers may want to open some doors or windows or something. I guess we can't do fans, but you can fan with your hands. So, you provide the power tonight for the fans. We should have some there in the pews, but that you see it, he says, let me go back here and pick up where we was looking at. Now you can express it by mental conception, but if it becomes a revelation of God, that you see it before it happened and express it in a word form, that word takes a hold and becomes material.
Amen.
Now, that isn't something that, you know, a lot of people have a hard time understanding something like this, that you can get so in tune with God that then from the thought that you would have in your mind, God lays something, and it not just be a hope so, it not just be a think so. Well, I look at the scriptures, I look at the quotes, and I guess that's all right. But to where it anchors down in your heart so much that it becomes a revelation to you, that you may not see a vision, you may not have a dream, but you actually see it before it happens. You recognize this is going to take place. I don't know how, I don't know when, but it's going to take place because I've already settled in my heart. I have a promise in the Word of God. He says, express it in word form. Don't just sit there and keep it in your heart, but express it. Go testify to somebody about it. Go praise God about it before it even happens. You say, oh, I don't want to bring reproach, Brother Nathan. No, you're not going to bring reproach. You go right ahead and testify as though you already had it. Amen. I wish if we had time tonight, we'd just have a testimony meeting right here tonight and let a few of you stand up and say what God's burning in your heart that you have a need of. Maybe it's for a loved one. Maybe it's for a family member. Maybe it's for a financial situation. Maybe it's for a health condition. If you could stand up tonight and speak and claim it, what would it be tonight that you would speak forth? Lay that in your heart tonight. And then when you go down these doors tonight, don't just keep it in your heart, but go home and tell your wife or tell your children or tell your neighbor. Say, you know what? God's going to do something for me. I can't explain it, but I see it by faith. I don't have the tangible existence of it. I don't have a doctor's report yet. I don't have a statement from my bank. I don't have a statement from the lawyer. I don't have a statement from my job yet. I don't have a way to physically show it and tangibly prove it to you. But something has anchored down in my heart to where I recognize that something's going to take place. And I want to go ahead and give God praise for it. As we looked at Mary, I'm just going to take this off tonight. All right. Amen. Thank you, brother. I'm not going to fight that and sweat through that and run another tie. So, amen. You take yours off tonight if you want, if you've got one. Make yourself at home. Take off your jacket or whatever you can do and keep decent, and we'll just keep moving on.
All right.
Something about it that we recognize that God's going to do something. Something about it that it becomes more than just a mental conception. It becomes more than just words that we've heard or words that we're speaking. But it becomes an absolute positive that I know that it's going to take place.
Yes.
Unconditionally, I can't explain it no more than Abraham could explain how he was going to have a child at his age. But he knew, I'm going to have the child. Explain to me the dynamics. Explain to me the mechanics, Abraham. I can't do it, but I'm going to have it.
Yeah.
Mary went down the road. She had never had a relationship with a man. She knew in her heart, Brother Layton, that she was a virgin. She was chaste. She was pure. She was holy. She was true. She had never had any type of immoral act with a man. Here she was, a spouse to a man named Joseph, and an angel tells her, you're going to have a baby.
Right.
How's it going to happen, Mary? It's never happened in all of history. It's never happened. Oh, my people begin to doubt and to worry and to question today. There's no way they could have had the faith that Mary had.
Amen.
When many of the things that we've been promised, we have types and we have scriptures and we have different things. We can go back and we can see, oh my, God did it for this one so he can do it for me. She didn't have any example of anybody he had done this for.
That's right.
Mike Zacharias could sit there and hear that him and his wife was going to have a baby way up in their age. He had types. He had Hannah. He had Sarah. He had different ones that had children, even though they supposedly couldn't have them, had children up in their age. And yet this man, a priest, he doubted. And God took his voice from him for a season until he could testify something positive. My prayer tonight, God, take my voice. If I can't say something positive, shut my mouth until I can say something positive. We'd be a lot better off if he'd do that to us. Oh, if I can't speak something positive, just shut my lips. I don't want to claim anything negative. But here goes Mary, and she goes to begin. She didn't have one type.
didn't have one example of anybody that had had a virgin birth before, but the angel said so.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I don't understand, Mary. This has never happened before, but the angel said so.
Right?
Not only that, but Isaiah said so. Oh, but that was 800 years ago, and we believe that that was false prophecy because it still hasn't come to pass. But God said one of those prophets' words wouldn't fall to the ground.
Yeah. Right.
It's going to take place. I don't know how, I don't know when, but something anchored down on the inside of her. She didn't feel a kick. She didn't feel a move. She didn't show. She just went right down the road and began to testify, I'm going to have a baby. And his name's going to be Jesus. He's going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Mary, you don't even show up anything on a pregnancy test at this point. How can you prove it to us? The angel just spoke this to you yesterday. But I'm going to testify of what he said, that he's more than able to perform. He said, express it in word form. That word takes a hold and becomes material. That should be nothing new to us. That shouldn't shock us as the people of God. God has been doing that since the very foundation of the world. How is this world that we sit on tonight, that it's out here spinning in its orbit, and it's at a certain angle, and it allows temperatures, and the moon being at a certain distance, and the pull that has allows the tide to move in and out, and the different effects that it even has on the earth, and even on people on the earth. And yet through all of that, God placing it in that position through a spoken word.
Right.
Amen. He didn't have a brick, he didn't have a stone, he didn't have a piece of wood. His spoken word went forth, and what had been a thought became a word that had been expressed, and that expressed word began to take hold and become material.
Amen.
If he could do that in the days gone by, if he could do that in the 8 days of Joshua to speak and the sun stand still, if he could do that in the days of Brother Branham to speak and a storm stop, or to speak squirrels into existence, or to do whatever that God told him to do, if he could do those things, the bride of Jesus Christ, I believe tonight, has that same particle of God down on the inside of him. It's got to be more than name it and claim it. It's got to be more than I want a bigger car or a bigger house. Sure. It's got to be an unction from the Holy Spirit that when you recognize that you have become Him and He has become you, and it's no longer your words, it's no longer your thoughts, but it's His words and it's His thoughts, then something down on the inside begins to take hold, and that thought that has become a word becomes to express itself in material form.
Amen.
Oh, it says, if your heart and your minds is so and infilled with God's Spirit until your thoughts become His thoughts, He says, amen, there you are. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, what kind of people should we be?
Amen.
If the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinion, but the Holy Spirit has you so built unto your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you.
Amen.
What kind of a church would we be, he says.
Amen.
Oh, what kind of a church would we be?
Amen.
Your thoughts.
Right.
Didn't just say God's thoughts. Didn't just say the prophet's thoughts. Said your thoughts and your being is expressing God's Spirit expressing itself through you.
Yes.
That goes beyond the realm of just some man wanting something to take place. It's the unction of the Holy Spirit expressing itself through you.
Right.
You say, I don't believe he would do that. Then why would he tell us that? Why would he speak, not just Brother Brandon, why would he speak and say in the last days that he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh?
Right.
Didn't just say it would be upon one man. Didn't just say it would be upon one woman or one church. He said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh.
Amen.
Brother Bram said that goes to show us that, you know, the rain falling on the just and the unjust. And that explains to us the anointed ones at the end time and different things that we see. What is it? He's pouring out his Spirit. Sometimes the vessel wasn't even worthy. Sometimes the vessel was just a mess. But God began to pour out his Spirit. And we begin to see signs and wonders come forth. Some of you that sat in Pentecostal meetings and things. things. You saw God move, and sometimes you look at the minister and you think, oh my, he's a womanizer, and he's after people's money, and miracles still being produced and performed, and signs and wonders might would have stumbled us if God hadn't sent us a prophet to show us that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And that God is able to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh.
Right.
Something about it, it becomes more than just a human idea.
Yes. Right.
But it sinks down, it begins to be a thought expressed. That word begins to be expressed through us, and it begins to form itself materially. You say, I don't know about that, Brother Nathan. Well, if I had time to go into it, I'd just share you about a dozen testimonies of healings and things from the church that just moments after it was spoken here at the platform, God moved on the scene and it took place.
Amen.
Hey, man, I'll just use one tonight. I don't even know Emma's not here. She's in Minnesota. But Emma, she came up for prayer back at the storefront. She had a little wart on the end of her finger. It was about the size of the end of her finger. Brother Layton and myself and some of the brothers had prayer for her, anointed her with oil, and they got her back to the seat. And about the time they got her back to their seat, Sister Christy began to look at her finger and held it up, and she said, it's gone.
Right.
Amen. That's more than a man.
Amen.
That's more than a pastor or an evangelist or even a prophet. That's God's word being expressed. That's God's words becoming materialized, that He promised in His word that if there was any sick, that they should lay their hands on the sick and they should recover.
Right.
He said, if there's any sick, they let them come up front, let the elders of the church anoint them with oil and pray the prayer of faith.
Hallelujah.
And the sick shall be healed.
Yes.
Didn't say, I hope so. Didn't say, maybe so. Didn't say, well, you did it a certain way under a certain roof in a certain place or in a certain state. He said, they shall.
Amen.
That's God's word being made material. Sometimes it doesn't happen that fast, but sometimes it does.
Yes.
Oh my. The word became flesh again. 1954, the word became flesh. Then when the human element goes out and the Spirit of God fills that vacancy where you empty yourself.
Amen.
There's the problem that we get into most of the time. We're not willing to empty ourselves up.
Amen.
And we've got too much of ourselves. We've got too much of our own opinions, too much of our own desires, too much of our own thoughts, too much of our own habits, too much of our own ways of doing things. And God's trying to get in and move any way that He can. He's trying to find somebody that He can work in and work through.
Right.
But He can't get in because there's too much of us.
Amen.
He says the Spirit of God fills that vacancy where you empty yourself. Oh, may we empty up tonight so that He can come in and fill the vacancy.
Yes.
He says, then will be when the church is in its power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We'll walk in His steps and His power and His thoughts and His being and His moving. You see what I mean? He says, then your thoughts will become words.
Amen.
And words will become material.
That's right. Yes.
Your thoughts
right.
will become words,
right.
and your words will become material.
Amen.
When? When you empty yourself up.
Amen.
And let Him come in and fill up that empty place.
Amen.
It's got to be more than what we wanted from the beginning, what our initial desire was. If we could just have our desire every time we wanted it, what a mess we would be in. Because maybe I would be sitting here and I would be thinking something. I'd think, Lord, if you could just do it this way. And I'd speak it and it'd be. And then Brother Hoover sitting there thinking, Lord, I'd really rather it be the other way. And he'd speak that and it'd change to that. And we'd just be in a mess. The world would be in chaos. Why? Because you can't have more than one guide in the ship.
Right.
But if it's the Holy Spirit that's working, then what He leads me to do,
amen,
then it's going to work just right along. It's going to be what Brother Hoover feels led to do. It's not going to be contrary. It's not going to be.
Right.
One says, well, you know, I don't believe we should do it this way. And the other one says, no, I believe we should. It's going to come right back to His Word if it's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not talking about the temperature or the color of the walls. I'm talking about spiritual things.
Right.
That He's not going to lead one brother and say, well, you should stay at home and criticize, and lead another brother and say, no, you should go to church and assemble yourself the more as you see the day approaching. He's going to stay right within the realms of His Word whenever He goes to lead somebody. The problem
Amen.
Is many times we're so full of ourselves that we can't hear Him.
Amen.
But when we become full of Him and we empty ourselves out, then He begins to lead and He begins to guide and the whole thing begins to go in motion. As I heard Brother Branham saying today on a tape that he was talking about in Jairus and divine healing there in 1954, he was talking about how that the different boats and things, many of them, you know, if it's a big ship, they have a man that's a captain up in the watchtower there, up in the cabin. He's watching out on the waters and he's looking out and he's got a radio, but he's radioing a man that's way down in the hull of the ship, and he's telling him, turn it to the left. And the man down in the ship, if he turns it to the left, everything's going to go just right. But if he tells him, turn it to the left, and he thinks, you know what, I'm looking at this compass and I really think we should turn it to the right. But he doesn't realize, because he's way down in there, that there's a big rock to the right, and he just goes ahead and turns it anyhow. It's got to be both the leading and the guiding. It's got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Now he typed that and he said, you know, you've got a vessel up here and you got a vessel down here, and you got to get them both in line. Many times we get this guy convinced and we think, oh my, I have faith and I believe the word and I'm looking for God to do something. I believe I got my healing. I went up and prayed the prayer of faith. Yes, you've got this guy convinced, but now you've got to convince this guy down on the inside. It's got to be more than hope. It's got to anchor down and be an absolute faith that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, there's an anchor down on the inside that says, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, amen, the word has been spoken and the word will become material.
Yes, right.
He says that's when the church in its power, I believe it's on its road. That's when the church will be so wrapped in Christ, the Holy Spirit, mankind so away from themselves that they don't see themselves.
Right.
They don't have no thoughts but to serve God. And their thoughts move on. They refuse the things of the world. Right. They just move in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, move in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, so fulfill the law of Christ. Then the love of Christ is in the human heart, moving in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He says in Jairus and Divine Healing 1954, he said it's the atmosphere. You got to get away from it, see, from that old confusion. Oh, I'm going to be, he says, you're scared. Now listen to this. He says, that's what's the matter. You'll be frying your meat of a morning for breakfast. And the first thing you know, he says, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, now I'm going to shock you a little bit. You don't mind, do you? All right, for instance, the meats are frying, and all at once the grease pops out on your hand. He says, now if you'll just shake it off and go on frying meat, it wouldn't bother you.
Right?
Scientifically prove this to me. Boiling grease, and it flies out of the frying pan, lands on your arm. You can panic and you can go get some medicine. Or you can just shake it off and keep going on and frying, and it won't burn you.
All right.
He says, now if you'll just shake it off and go on frying meat, it wouldn't bother you. Now I know you didn't get that just right. Look, he says, the first thing, oh, where's the unguentine? Something, you know, you see, grab your hand. See, it scares you to death. That's what it does. It's fear.
Come on. Amen.
That's what does it. It's fear. Peter walking on the water, he was walking all right till he seen the waves contrary and he got scared. Jesus said, why'd you fear? That's what's the matter with Holy Ghost people today. They've got a lot of afraid. The devil's just trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. You say, some of these days you'll be this. He said, you are now. Now, I want to just give the devil a little bit of a black eye tonight, because if his servants out here in other countries can walk through white hot coals down to about their knees and walk out the other side and not get burnt, and then somebody sitting here tonight would say, I don't believe that, what Brother Branham said about the grease. Well, that just shows that you don't know what you're talking about.
All right.
Men stick swords through their skin and pull it out the other side, needles and hooks and weights, and it not even bleed. If they can do that under demon possession and not feel a thing, if they can lay there on nails and they can lay there and run spikes in themselves and they can do things like that, and then we won't believe that because some frying grease gets on us, if we would shake it off and keep going, we wouldn't feel it, it wouldn't bother us. Shame on you.
Amen.
Shame on us as members of the Bride of Jesus Christ. Because of the heat and the time, I'm not going to read the whole scripture tonight. I had it all written out here tonight, but we'll just paraphrase it. Paul, when he got off the ship there and he had told him, he said, if you stay in the ship, no harm will come to you.
Right. What he said.
That's what I like to tell a lot of these abandoning ship today. You just stay in the ship, you'll be all right. But I can't help you. There's not much I can do for you once you get out of the ship. That's what Paul said. In fact, he said, an angel of God. Oh, I thought God didn't use angels anymore. He said, an angel of God stood by me this night, whose servant I am. He said, he told me that those that are with me in the ship, they'll be all right. You just stay in the ship tonight. And they got shipwrecked. But you know what? They was all right. There wasn't a one of them that was harmed. And he had told them there wouldn't be one of them that was hurt. Just save the ship would have a little bit of trouble. And they landed there on a little island of Melita. And when they got off, Paul began to go and gather some sticks for a fire. You know, he was a prisoner there and they had him doing some manual labor. And he goes over and he picks up some sticks and a big old viper just attaches itself to his hand. And the natives of this island, they begin to look at it and they said, this man's a murderer. Because here, my, the storm tried to catch him, the shipwreck tried to catch him, and now as soon as he gets off the boat, you look what happened to him. Oh, they sound like a lot of Job's comforters. Oh my, you must be a secret sinner because you've had this happen, you've had that happen. Look at all the symptoms and look at all the things. Oh my, we know you're a secret sinner. They said, oh, he must be a murderer. Here he was, a prophet of God.
Amen.
Not only that, a first church age messenger, anointed by the Spirit of God, but yet bad things were happening to him.
That's right.
You mean to tell me bad things could happen to God's people? Absolutely. Many times people, God's people stay in more trouble than anybody. Constantly in and out of troubles and trials and persecution and perils. You look at Paul's journeys, in jail, out of jail, beat, striped, mocked and stoned, hit with rocks, and oh my, just on and on and on. There was constantly out to get him. Every revival he had, they was trying to stop it. Every town he went into, they was trying to put him in jail. And he didn't sit there and say, well, I guess God just isn't in this because we've hit a few speed bumps. That just let him know, you know what, I know I must be on the right track because the devil is fighting this so hard that there must be something about it that everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
And here he gets out there. He survived the storm. He survived the shipwreck. And he picks up these sticks. And this viper attaches it. They said, that man's a murderer. And my granddaddy, you know what? He got bit by a snake just like that, Brother Hoover. And he dropped in just a few minutes. And he was just as sick and swelled up and dead as he could be within a few hours. That man's a goner. And they saw him begin to walk around. Seemed like everything was all right. He went and he kindled the fire, just shook the thing off back into the weeds there. And he begins to walk around. Here this man, bit by a venomous snake. Everything that they knew is their tribe. Everything that they knew of their history, of animal science, of everything they could look at said, this man is going to be dead in a few minutes.
Yes.
Doesn't stand a chance. Absolutely doesn't stand a chance. He's going to be deader than a doorknob. And they watched him, and he kept working, and they watched him, and he kept working, and they thought, goodness gracious, what type of man is this? And then it said they changed their minds. You go and read it. That's exactly what it says. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. What a change that a few hours had from a murderer to a god. Oh my, we get worried and upset and think, my, how's God going to do this? How's God going to do that? He can change the opinion of somebody like that.
Amen.
He can change the condition of somebody like that.
Amen.
He can change their circumstances like that for the good or for the better. He's God and he's in charge. He's in control. We're not in charge of this ship, but he is in charge. He's the one that's guiding it. He's the one that's leading it. You just trust him and just give him the wheel. Give him the rudder. Say, God, I don't have anything in this. I don't have any ability on my own, but I'm trusting in you.
Amen.
I'm trusting in you to do this, just like Paul was trusting in him, because Paul remembered the words that the disciples had told him. And as Luke and different ones begin to pin the words down, and as Mark would write the words, and they would sit there and share these testimonies with St. Paul, and they said, you know what? He told us his last commission was to go in all the world and preach the gospel. And he said, if you would take up serpents, or if you would drink any deadly thing, it wouldn't harm you.
Amen.
And that quickening power in Paul, his mind goes back to this, and he remembers the testimony. And he said, you know what? My God said not to even worry about this.
Right.
He didn't run about and cry and scream and look for a doctor. He just shook the thing into the fire and kept on going.
Right.
If God can do that, what about a little bit of grease on your stove?
Amen.
If God can do that, what about a little bit of sickness in your body? What about some of these things that the devil tries to throw at you? He's just trying to scare you. He wants to get you to doubt. He wants to get you to be upset and be discouraged. Oh my, look at the condition. Look at this one. Look at that one. Look at the circumstances. Look at this loved one over here. Look at this health situation over there. Look at this financial issue. Look at this marital problem. Look at all these things. He's constantly wanting you to look at things that are going to make you scared. That are going to make you fear. That are going to make you worry. But God's word says, fear not.
Amen.
Over and over and over, fear not.
Amen.
We have no reason to be afraid. We have no reason to be upset. He said the devil's just out trying to scare you out of something. He's trying to put something off somewhere else. Say, some of these days you'll be this. He says, you are now.
Right.
Now we are the sons of God.
Amen.
Now we're seated in heavenly places. Now we have all powers in heaven and earth.
Yes.
See, now we have it. Not in the millennium, he says. We won't need it then. We got it now. Let me read that again in case you didn't hear it. He says, now we have all powers in heaven and the earth. See, now we have it. Not in the millennium. We won't need it then. We got it now. See, right now we're the sons of God. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know we'll be like him. What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else.
Amen.
How is it that some of us can look in the face of some of these things that have caused others to walk away and scratch their head in questions, and we look at it and it doesn't stumble us?
Right.
And we look at it and we think, my, that doesn't even rock my boat.
Praise God.
That doesn't shake me a bit. I had one man look at me one time. He said, you know, was quoting me some of these things that some of the people on their websites have written. He said, doesn't that shake your faith? I said, not a bit.
That's right.
Doesn't shake my faith a bit. They came too late to shake my faith.
Right.
I'm already grounded on a solid rock.
Amen.
If I was on the shifting sands of men's intellect and legalism and men's opinion and dogmas and creeds, they would shake me all over the place. But I'm not grounded on the shifting sands of man's ideas. I'm grounded on the solid word.
Hallelujah.
The solid rock of the word. The revelation of it. Once it becomes a revelation, there's no shaking you from it.
Amen.
There's no shaking your faith. Oh no, it doesn't shake my faith. Not a bit. Why? Because what I am here is a reflection of what I am somewhere else.
Amen.
What you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Why? Why is it? You know, I was talking to my sister-in-law yesterday about some of the things that science has even picked up on that Brother Branham told us 50, 60, 70 years ago about positive thinking and a positive confession and always, you know, not saying something negative, but just not accepting that box of rattlesnakes that the devil would try to give you. But, oh my, I was talking about cancer patients, how that even science has proved, medical science has proved, you put two patients in the same hospital with the same diagnosis, the same stage of cancer, the same outcome that the doctor has given them, everything, and you have one with a positive attitude that they're going to be okay and that God's got it under control and that they're going to come out of there. They have a 90% chance better of coming out okay than somebody that comes in and says, well, I guess that's just that. That's not a quote. That's medical science. It is a quote too. 50, 60 years ago, it was already a quote. But now medical science is picking up on it.
Yes.
Why is it? We're a reflection here of what we are somewhere else.
Amen.
How is it that some can walk with their head above the fanaticism that goes on around the message? Not in the message, hear me, around the message.
Right.
How is it that some can hold their head up above all the sin and the things that go on around us and others slip right into it and they fall backwards and they go into all these things? How is it? Because what their representation is somewhere else is showing on this side as well. It proves what your representation is. Spiritual Food in Due Season, 1965. He says, you say there's nothing impossible with God. He says, you believe that? He said, there's nothing impossible with you either.
Amen.
Let me read it again. You say there's nothing impossible with God. He says, you believe that? There's nothing impossible with you either.
Yeah,
For all things are possible to them, he says. God is one person. To them that believe, see. So there's nothing impossible with you.
Amen.
For you, if you can only believe.
Amen.
It's got to be more than up here. It's got to be more than an intellectual faith.
Right.
It's got to be more than I hope so, or I was taught so, or brother so-and-so said, or sister so-and-so said. It's got to be more than that. But when it anchors down on the inside, that there's something, that it's a revelation to you personally, there's nothing impossible for you.
Amen.
I was talking to my dad yesterday about, you know, what Brother Bram said about the little string hanging there from the fan. You know, and he said he began to move it back and forth with his mind. He was trying to get that sister's faith to build. And it disturbed her. And he said, now I want to ask you, he said, was that God or was that the devil? She said, I don't know. He said, it wasn't either. Faith is a Substance, 1947, first tape that we have on record. You go right back and listen to it and see what he said. He said it wasn't either. Here, a little string hanging from a fan with a little thing on the end of it, and it just begins to move back and forth on its own. Then he stopped it, and it moved back and forth the other direction on its own. He asked her, was that God or was that the devil? Which power was it? She said, I don't know, sir. He said, it wasn't either. He said, it was just me focusing my mind on it.
Right.
I think we have untapped abilities in the human body, in the human mind, in the human soul that we haven't even begun to reach yet.
Amen.
He said magicians use that same type of thing to crush glasses and things with their mind.
Yes.
This isn't with some satanic power or with some supernatural something that they had. Just by focusing their mind. And he could do this. Just by focusing his mind on it. To me, if he could do that, what is the difference in weight or size or anything? You could move a car. You could move anything that you had to in an emergency.
Amen.
Quiet in here tonight. That's what he said. Nothing is impossible to you.
Amen.
All things are possible to them that believe. Brother Bram said he was praying for that little boy and his back was broke. The car flipped over on him. He said, oh, don't touch me, don't touch me. He said, I began to pray and he said, the car just flipped right over. You say, I don't have enough faith to believe that. Well, you'd sure have a hard time with the waters parting the Red Sea and the land being dried then when the people walked over if you can't handle a car getting flipped over. As I was with Moses, 1951. I think a whole lot of, with we people, that we just, you know, just kind of take God as like the reading and writing and arithmetic, what we learn by the word. And it just becomes the word, and we know that in our mind, but we're afraid to accept it, to bring it to life. He says again, faith, 1961, he says, I've tried in a simple, childlike way to present it to the people that they might understand and know that the power of God lays within them. Notice he didn't say it just lays within Jesus. He didn't just say it just lays within the pastor. It doesn't just lay within the prophet. He said, I've tried every way I know how with my simple way of teaching to tell the people that the power of God lays within them. If they can only have their faith and follow God's orders. Ever-present water from the rock, 1961. The power that will raise us up is in us right now. The power that will raise us up is right in us now.
Yes.
I thought we were waiting for some great big something to take place. No, the power's in you right now.
Amen.
You're just waiting for that faith to reach a place.
Yes.
To put it into action.
Yes.
Enoch didn't have to work up something. He didn't have to, to just try to work up some middle something, or he didn't have to do some great dynamic something. One day he was just walking,
right,
and God said, you know what, Enoch, you're closer to me than you are back home. Why don't you just come on over here? What was it? He had got so in tune with God's thinking. The power was already in him, Brother Hoover.
Amen.
God didn't say, okay, Enoch, you've been a real good boy this week and you've served me. And, you know, I think, my, you've really been saying your prayers and doing your devotions every night. And, my, you haven't got mad at your boss. And you haven't had a cussing fit in about 7 years. And, my, you haven't lost your temper. And, my, you're just so good and holy. You know what? I'm gonna give you something now. Let me reach back here into my power and give you a little bit. The power was already in him.
Amen.
The power that will raise us up is right in us now. He says, we're now in heavenly places. We're now in the power of the resurrection. If there wasn't a law to that, sons and daughters of God would create them a world out here and go live a private life on it. You have the power in you to do it.
Amen.
You have the power in you to go create a world out here and live a private life on it. You think, oh my, I wish I could have my own island somewhere. What about a world? He said, but there's a law to it. If there wasn't a law to it, you could just go create a world and go live on it. Why? Because that same spoken word that he spoke in the beginning to create not only the world that we live in, but the universe and the galaxies and the Milky Way and all that, that same spoken word lays within you tonight if you've really got the Holy Ghost. We'll look at it next week, what that means, deity tabernacling in you. If you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you, that same element that was in him to speak the word, it's in you.
Amen.
He says, you have the power in you to do it. He said, if you've got a shadow of the power of God in you, you got the power to do it. God is omnipotent. See what I mean? The power that's in you will make, he said, you could speak a world into existence and go live on it. Hallelujah, he says. There you are. That's what power is in the church now, but it's controlled by a law. All right, let's see what this law is. He says, and that law is not keeping a bunch of commandments.
Right.
It's a law of faith.
Right.
Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours.
Amen.
There's a law.
Say it again.
You got a toothache tonight. You got cancer, tuberculosis. The doctor says there's no hope. You got a situation. There's a law tonight.
Right.
And within you, you have the ability to go speak a world into existence and live on it. Why? Because creative power that was in God is placed within you. Why? Because if you got the Holy Ghost, there's a little bit of deity down on the inside of you.
Amen.
Right.
And if you have that creative power, it's no more to speak a swirl into existence than it is to speak a world into existence.
Right.
The same spoken word that said, let there be light, that said, let there be heavens, let there be earth, spoke the first swirl into existence.
Right.
Why should it stumble us with a prophet of God to speak and something similar take place?
Amen.
Right.
Where did the first squirrel come from? Where did the first fish come from? Jesus sat there and multiplied creation, broke off of the original, and began to multiply creation. That shouldn't stumble us a bit. Where did the first fish come from? He said, let there be, and there was.
Right.
Yes.
It was no more to God. God didn't, when he said it. You know, actually, it should have started like we do. You know, a lot of times we start off small. You know, if we're going to build something, well, some of you all that are going to, you know, take a pottery class or something, let's start off and we'll just build a little saucer first for our coffee. You know, we'll build a little saucer for our coffee cup and we'll start off small. But he started off and he said, let there be light. There have never been lights.
Right.
And then he creates the heavens and the earth and the galaxies and all these things. And then he comes way back and says, now I'm going to create a tadpole.
All right. Amen.
And he starts with the tadpole and he goes and begins to create all of the animal life and he works his way up to a man. My, what would a tadpole be to creating the heavens and the earth, the speaking
right.
light where there was only darkness? What would a tadpole be to that? You know what? It wasn't any difference to God.
Amen.
He didn't work up any more of a sweat saying, let there be Mars, than he did, let there be a tadpole.
That's right.
Right.
He doesn't work up any more of a sweat saying, heal a toothache or heal a headache, than he does to say, heal a cancer.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Heal somebody that they say is absolutely incurable, that the doctors say, God doesn't have to wring his hands and work up a sweat and do something. You just speak the word. The same faith that will heal a headache will heal a cancer.
Yes, sir.
The same faith that you can apply for your lost soul, you can apply it to your family. That's what the Philippian jailer did.
Yes.
And it's the same faith, but there's a law. It has to be by faith.
Right.
It can't be by mental workup, or I think so, or well, I'm just doing this because this is what Brother Nathan said, or I'm just going to read this quote and intellectually I'm just going to say the words. It's got to be a faith.
Amen.
There's a law. And he said, and if you can believe it, whatever God will lead your soul to believe, that is yours.
Amen.
Every place the soles of your foot can set upon, by faith, God gives it to you. Amen. It's yours. You possess it. If you can find the key to keep this law. Sorry, he says, you can find the key to this law of faith that opens it to you. You see what I mean? That power is controlled by, if you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time. You mean even when I make a mistake, Brother Hoover? You mean even when I don't feel like it? You mean even when I'm discouraged and I'm down in the dumps and I don't feel like I'm bright and I don't feel like speaking nothing to existence, it stays with you the whole time. If you're a son of God or a daughter of God, that never leaves you, he says. It's with you all the time.
Amen.
Why should we be afraid?
Amen.
Why should we be discouraged? Creative power lays within you. You say, I don't know about that, Brother Nathan. Well, what about some of you that have lost things and you prayed a simple prayer and you went back and looked for it in the same place that it was in 30 seconds before and it was there? Tell me what that is if it's not creative power.
Amen.
Brother Layton lost a prayer cloth one time a few years ago, and it was something that was important to him. And he went through every suit coat and every pants pocket he could think of over and over and over.
Right.
Then one day, he's not even thinking about it, he reaches in that same coat. And there's the prayer cloth.
That's right.
You say, oh, I don't know. I just think that he didn't see it the first time. Well, we've got about a dozen more testimonies like that. I don't know how much time you got tonight. But Sister Stephanie Nicholson, she lost her wedding ring. It was something that was important to her.
Yes.
And they began to pray. They were sitting there on the side of the bed, her and her mother, and they began to pray. They looked all over the house for it. Looked everywhere they could think of. Retraced their steps. And they sit down on the bed to pray. And her mother begins to pray. And she begins to pray. And Sister Mary Beth stands up. And the ring falls from her lap. Dink, 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 dink. All the way across the floor. How did that ring get in the lap of her skirt when they've been looking all over the house?
Amen.
The spoken word is still the original seed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Brother Billy Paul, when Sister Lois lost her ring. And they walked for miles on the sand. Miles. You try to search for a ring on miles of sand. You talk about searching for a needle in a haystack. And he said he just knelt down in the sand there. He began to pray. He said, Lord, it's something that's important to her. And he puts his hand down in the sand. When he brings his hands up, the ring's on his finger.
Yes.
What was it? Creative power.
Hallelujah.
A lot of these things we try to put way back in the Old Testament or the New Testament or 47 or 65. He's the same God tonight.
Amen.
If you're a son of God, you're a daughter of God, that never leaves you. It's with you all the time. But your faith gets away from it. But it's still there, he says. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's with you. It never leaves you. But your faith sometimes gets away from it. Remember, it's on a law.
Yes.
Look away to Jesus, 1963. The third pool has now been vindicated. I'm sure you know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that because it can't be. See, it cannot be. Now it's inexistent. And I'm warned of this, that soon, he says, right at this time now, it's just happened so it could identify its presence among you.
Amen.
The third pool, way back there, he begins to speak and squirrels into existence. And Sister Hattie and Sister Mita with the tumor and the storm being spoken out into existence. All these different things. He says it's just now happened so it could identify its presence among you. Why? So that you would be able to recognize it when you needed it.
Amen.
So that you would be able to recognize it. You say, Brother Nathan, you think you're going to be able to speak squirrels into existence? Only if I'm starving to death and I need them. You say, I just don't know about that. Go back and read your Bible.
Yes.
There was a man one time in a den of lions, and he began to pray, and he just turned his back to the lions and began to pray and to walk, and God shut the lions' mouths.
Right.
Absolutely contrary to their nature. In fact, the Babylonians and all of them, the Persians and all of them, they would the Romans and different ones that used animals for these type of things, for deaths and for tortures and things, they would starve those animals so that when they had a good victim, they were good and hungry and ready to latch onto one of them. And no doubt those lions was hungry and they was ready for a good Daniel sized meal. And here they just deliver him one right over the edge of the pit, and here he comes down, and they sit there and they begin to growl and they begin to complain. They're thinking, oh my only problem is fighting this other lion over here to try to get the best part of him. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just comes down and a pillar of fire between him and the lions.
Yes.
Amen. If he can do that, I feel like he can do just about anything.
Amen.
It's happened so it could identify its presence among you. See, but it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, he said the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power.
Amen.
How's it going to happen? Who did he say the final voice of the final age was going to be? When the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in its fullness and its power. God's provided way for this day, 1964. He says he puts his words in your mouth and they materialize.
Amen. Amen.
He didn't just say just in my mouth, just in the pastor's mouth, just in the deacon's mouth or the trustee's mouth. He said he puts his words in your mouth and they materialize. That's right. It's his words. It has to do it. How's it going to happen, Brother Nathan, when it becomes his words and his thoughts? Not your thoughts, not your words. They won't do it. I can get up here and I can try to work up something. And oh my, you know, I can try to jump up and down and just try, oh Lord, we need this, we need this, we need this. That's all right. That's okay. But it's not going to produce nothing until his thoughts become my thoughts.
Right.
Not my thoughts anymore, but his thoughts. Not my words anymore, but his words. How is it sometimes that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord would lead, you know, and speak something and it happened just the way it's going to be? Why can't we do that for everybody, Brother Hoover? Why can't we say to everybody that comes through the prayer line, you're healed. Don't worry about it. You're absolutely healed beyond a shadow of a doubt, and testify about it. Well, in one sense of the word, they are. They were healed before the foundation of the world. But they're only truly healed when their faith can anchor on to that promise.
Amen.
It's by a law. Their faith controls it.
Yes.
But he puts his words in your mouth and they materialize. He said, that's right. It's his words. It has to do it. Hear ye him, 1960. Placing of a son. Take him out in a certain place and have a ceremony before the angels. Place him positionally what he is in the body of Christ. Then that person has the authority. He says, let me say this, if you count me a fanatic from this night on, that very same thing that I'm speaking of will be done.
Amen.
He says, there'll be a power put into the church.
Come on.
And now it's coming in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word and it'll create itself right there.
Amen.
I thought that was just for Brother Branham. Well, that's what you've been told maybe, but that's not what he said.
Amen.
Right.
There'll be a power put into the church and now is coming in that the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word and it'll create itself right there. We haven't seen powers like coming in the church now. I know it for a fact. Say unto this mountain, be moved. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you said shall come to pass. You can have what you said. The placing of the church in position where the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost comes into the church.
Amen.
Then critics' mouths will shut, he says. It'll be a short time. Jesus come right off the mountain, went straight to Calvary. Notice, it won't last long,
right. But
it'll be here.
Amen.
Won't last long, but it'll be here.
Right.
You say, what are you trying to say, Brother Nathan? I'm trying to say that creative power lays in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not just trying to say it. That's what the Word said.
Amen.
He said, ask what you will.
Right.
He said, say to this mountain.
Right.
That's not just Brother Nathan. That's not just Brother Branham. He said.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said. He said, whatever two or three of you, if you agree on anything, he said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll answer.
Right.
Amen. What is it? It takes faith in the Word of God to produce it, though.
Right.
You can't just read it intellectually and say, well, that's what it said. So that's just what it is. It's got to drop down past this. It can't just be an intellectual faith that I know so because I've been taught it, like reading, writing, and arithmetic. But when that faith drops down in there and it becomes a revelation to you, he said, well, let me read it again to you. He said, the Holy Spirit will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word and it'll create itself right there.
Yes.
What's it going to be, Brother Nathan? It's going to be whatever you have need of. Is it going to be healing? Is it going to be financial? Is it going to be spiritual? Is it going to be our loved ones? What is it going to be? It's going to be whatever you have need of.
Amen.
Whatever you have need of tonight.
That's right.
Amen. How are these things performed? How can Brother Joel sit back there and the doctors say now that he's immune to hepatitis B?
Come on.
When a few weeks before they said that he had it.
Right.
The creative word of God.
Amen.
Amen. It wasn't my word. Amen. I wasn't the one that was obligated to make it come to pass, but
that's
God
right.
was obligated to his word.
Amen.
Because he came through the same channel that God had healed others through. What he did for others, he has to do for you. He's not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
In fact, Brother Branham said, you don't even have to be a Christian to be healed. You just have to be a Christian to stay healed.
Amen.
Oh my, God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
What do you have need of tonight? Amen. Are you sick? You got a financial problem? Oh my, you have a need in your life? You got a loved one that you're praying for? Speak the word tonight.
Yes, come on.
Amen. We sing, it was good for Brother Branham. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for this one and that one. It's good enough for me. Amen. That old time religion is still the same tonight.
Amen.
That old time religion is still the same tonight. What you have need of. Amen. We can still speak the word. What is it? All the healings and things that we've seen take place, all the miracles that God has done, all the provisions financially, spiritually, all the deliverance and things like that. That hasn't been a minister. That hasn't been your brother. That hasn't been Brother Nathan or Brother Hoover or Brother Layton or Brother Arnie. It's been the presence of God fulfilling his word as he promised that he would.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, he said, will so anoint the people till they'll speak the word and it'll create itself right there. Amen. I believe we're starting to see it. A little bit here and a little bit there.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But I believe we haven't seen nothing yet.
Amen. Already done.
Amen.
You say you got a scripture for that, Brother Nathan? Absolutely. Daniel 11:32. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Yes.
Romans 9:28. For he will finish the works and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth.
Yes.
Who's he going to use, Brother Nathan? Is it going to be this brother? Is it going to be that brother? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be this one? It's going to be the bride.
Amen.
I don't care what city she's from or what church she attends. It's going to be the bride.
Amen.
The bride and the groom will come so much in tune with one another that his words will become her words.
Yes.
Amen. We'll look at it before we get done with this series. Some of the things Brother Bram said about it in the Church Age book. How that he said she'd have thus saith the Lord, or she'd keep still.
Right.
The problem is many times we run around, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Why don't you wait till you're sure it's the Lord and just keep still until then?
Amen.
Once you know it's the Lord, put it into action.
Yes, sir.
Amen. A short work. What's it going to be? He's going to use the bride because he said she'd be the final voice to the final age. How's he going to do it, Brother Nathan? However he wants to do it.
Amen.
When's he going to do it, Brother Nathan? Whenever he wants to do it.
Right.
Amen. I believe we're seeing some of the things. We're seeing God do some incredible things.
Amen.
We're seeing God heal. We're seeing God save. We're seeing him fill with the Holy Ghost those that are empty. We're seeing him do some incredible things. But when it comes down, right now, we're depending on him, but we're also kind of dependent on our 401k and on Clark and Floyd Memorial and some of these others. We're dependent on this and we're dependent on that. But he said, once that squeeze begins to come,
right.
You ain't going to have nobody to depend on but him.
Right.
It'll be a short, quick work. He won't let us see much of it because the bride will be gone before the real tribulation
praise
hits.
Right.
But when he gets to a spot where you've got nowhere else to turn but him, you wait and see. He'll be there.
Amen.
Why? Because he's been right with you all along. Your faith just sometimes gets away from it. That's what he said. He said, it's been with you all along. If you're a son or a daughter of God, it never leaves you. But your faith leaves it sometimes. Oh, God, help our faith tonight.
Amen.
I know it's been miserable as far as the temperature and the conditions. But, amen, I believe God had something for us tonight. Amen. The devil can try to stop it, but...
Amen. The bride of Jesus Christ moves on anyhow.
Amen.
Amen. You love him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand together. The Bible said they sang a hymn and they went out. That's what we're going to do tonight. Amen. Amen. If anyone needs special prayer tonight, if you do, come forward at this time. We're going to have a pretty short end service tonight. But if you need prayer, you can come up at this time. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Jesus, Father, we thank you. Lord, to hear your word, Father.
Yes, Father.
To see what you spoke through the mouth of your prophet in this age.
Hallelujah.
Lord, I know I wasn't able to maybe bring it in the way that I wanted to, Father, with the technology that we wanted to, for the people to be able to read the quotes along and for us to be able to stay as focused maybe as we would have liked with the distractions and the heat and things like that. But Father, I pray that even though Satan has tried to hinder tonight, Lord, that you would let the word that was sown go to the intended hearts, Father.
Amen.
Lord, that you would let the words that were spoken, Lord, that not my words, but Lord, the things that we heard tonight from the scriptures and the quotes, Father, from the unction of the Holy Spirit, may it settle down in our hearts and encourage us tonight. Lord, to see what you've spoke to us in this age. Lord, that you've placed creative power in your bride, Father. Lord, we've been taught by denominations and by men who want to make themselves known and have their names and lights of name it and claim it and go out and do whatever you want and reach and pull and grab, Father. But your prophet didn't teach us that. The word didn't teach us that. But Father, what it does teach us is that if we would get so in tune with you to where our words would no longer be just coming from our thoughts, but it would be your thoughts that would express themselves through us. Oh, how can it be done, Father? By the unction of the Holy Spirit in us.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit working through us, working through the body as it's always done. For your prophet said, you have no lips but our lips.
Right.
You have no hands but our hands. You have no feet but our feet. Oh, Lord, help us not to be stagnant and lazy, but help us to be up and doing. Help us, Lord, to use our feet to go and witness to others. Lord, may we not just sit isolated away, but Lord, may you take us wherever you would lead us. Lord, may our hands, Lord, be out to help somebody else, to show them a little bit of light. Lord, may our words and our lips and our mouth, our vocal cords, may they be used, Lord, not to waste time running somebody else down or trying to prove somebody else wrong, but may they be used to encourage and to lift up and
Amen.
To try to be a help to somebody, an encouragement to someone, Father. Lord, let us not be wasteful or negligent, Lord, with our time or our abilities, Lord, but may we place them into the kingdom of God. Lord, may you use us however you see fit, Father.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Oh, Lord, may your thoughts become our thoughts. May your words become our words. May you speak them through us, Father.
Yes.
May you speak through mortal lips again in this age, Father. Lord, if there's any that has a need, Lord, don't let them just sit and wonder, but may they speak, Father, to you. May they cry out in their time of need. May you manifest that word and make it become material. Lord, your prophet said those words, Father, if they're truly from you, those words would materialize. Lord, whether it's healing, whether it's finances, whether it's a spiritual vacancy, Father, where somebody has something that's hindering them, whether it's something, Father, that a besetting sin or some addiction or some, Lord, whatever it would be, something in their life, a trait that was handed down to them through their family, or whether it would be some emotional scar, Father, whatever it would be that they're struggling with tonight, Father, may they speak to the storm that's in their life.
Yes.
Lord, maybe it's a loved one that has a need. May they speak to the storm in that loved one's
Amen.
Life, Father. Lord, may the word begin to materialize. Lord, may it not just be a thought, but Lord, may they confess it with their mouth. Lord, may it not just be of their own will, but Father, may the unction of the Holy Spirit within them speak forth with groanings that maybe they don't even know how to utter themselves, Father, but may you begin to speak tonight through mortal lips again.
Amen.
Lord, speak your words through us, Father. Speak your desire through us. Speak your thoughts through us. Lord, may it begin to materialize. Lord, if there's a need tonight, Father, Lord, may you just minister to that need. May you move on the scene, Father. Oh, Lord, if there's habits and things of the world, Father, that some are struggling with, maybe the young people, Father, things that they fell into because of influences in their life, Father, at school or wherever they would go, Father, may you give them deliverance tonight.
Lord, may you shed your grace abroad in our hearts for us to recognize, Father, even through our faults and our failures, Lord, that you're still there with outstretched arms to receive us back, Father. Oh, Lord, just take us back to the potter's house. Mold us and make us into your image, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers. Brother Fermont, you lead us in moments like these.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. We're singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. We're singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, Lord.
love you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Save a wretch like
Amen. You love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I believe we'll hear testimonies back of, thank you, brother, of things that he did in the service tonight for people, healings and testimonies and things go forth. Amen. We're going to dismiss in just a moment, and we just ask that we're going to, because of the darkness, we don't want somebody tripping and getting hurt. We're going to have the deacon brothers dismiss you a row at a time with the flashlights here and kind of help guide you down through there. Amen. Let's just have a word of prayer before we go. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as each one goes tonight, Lord, I just ask that you would protect them. Lord, that you would keep your mercies and your grace upon them, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for a group of people that, Lord, even in conditions like this, Lord, they want to press through and endeavor and stay, Lord, to get a blessing, Father. Lord, may you reward them, Father, for their patience and their understanding, Lord, to sit in the heat like this and, Lord, without any electricity, but just to sit and hear the word, Lord, and to see people respond and come forward, Lord, with needs in their hearts and in their lives, Father, physical in different ways, Father. Lord, may you honor their faith tonight. Lord, may testimonies come forth. May the words that were spoken over their situations tonight become material, Father, in their lives. Lord, be with each one, Father. Lord, just protect and bring us back at the appointed time. Lord, keep us in your will and in your grace, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would, as the brothers dismiss you, just go on out and leave the building. And let's just sing this as we go. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, they were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost when power for service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learned be, nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide, His power is yet the same. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.